live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a man who abused his young cousin in Donegal over a six-year period has been jailed for 10 years. The mother of murdered Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin has raised concern over the direction in which the trial of the man charged with her murder is going. Glenmore Generation Limited have had a planned development appealed to in Bord Pleanalla, and a Donegal deputy is accusing the Agriculture Minister of being incapable of getting all stakeholders around the table for the first meeting of the Beef Market Task Force. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a man who abused his young cousin by making him perform sex acts over a six-year period has been jailed for 10 years. 51-year-old Thomas Patton, with an address at Castle Avenue, Clontarf, Dublin, had pleaded not guilty at Dublin Circuit Criminal Court to 24 counts of indecent assault of his cousin at Castle Finn in County Donegal on dates between April the 1st, 1984 and January the 1st, 1990. Donald Kavanagh has more.
Thomas Patton was found guilty of the 24 counts by a jury following a trial in July last. He has no previous convictions. The court heard that the victim, Mark Patton, has waived his right to anonymity. The court heard that Thomas Patton and the victim were first cousins. There was a 9-year age gap between the two, and the offending behaviour commenced when the victim was aged 6. Passing sentence, Judge Melanie Greeley said the victim impact report made it clear that Mark Patton felt irreversibly tainted by his childhood experiences. She said the victim had experienced considerable isolation as a result of the division in his family as a consequence of him disclosing the abuse. In his victim impact statement, Mark Patton told the court some of his relatives had stopped talking to him since the accused was found guilty. He said he decided to pursue the case to protect his children and other children as well. Passing sentence, Judge Greeley said she was distinguishing between the 10 offences of indecent assault committed by Thomas Patton as a minor and the 14 later offences of indecent assault committed when he was an adult.
More details of the case can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. The mother of murdered Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin has raised concern over the direction in which the trial of the man charged with her murder is going. Bagat Bagat is appealing against confinement in prison after a large number of mobile phones and 1 kilogram of narcotics were uncovered during a raid of the jail last month. Bagat has admitted that none of the contraband was found in his room but was sentenced under the pretext of disciplinary disobedience. Danielle's mother, Andrea Brannigan, is questioning why the focus of the trial seems to be on Bagat's rights and not the fact that he allegedly raped and murdered her daughter. She believes this is causing unnecessary delays in getting justice for Danielle.
It seems to be more about his issues and what he's doing in jail than it is about Danielle and what he's done to Danielle.
Do you feel that the direction in which it's taken is leading to obvious delays in getting justice for Danielle?
Yes, I do. I believe that it's always holding something back. It's always another thing holding it back. Like at the moment, at the present time, it's due to him having a guard, assaulting a guard in the prison. What has that got to do with the fact what he done to Danielle?
In terms of what the government are doing here, we know promises were made to yourself by Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. What's the situation on those promises at present?
At the moment, they're in discussions with me about Danielle's amendment, but to date, anything they promised me except for going to the court, nothing's happened.
So in terms of going to the court, you're obviously, it's very early stages in terms of this latest response, but you are going to think about it because in that response, it does detail that, you know, the conditions of the court over in India aren't great. You would be in quite close proximity to the accused.
Yeah. And that actually, I don't know if I'd be comfortable sitting that near to him. It should be like any trial. Like in the case of Andrea's daughter, which was also fast-tracked, the same as Danielle's, had the first court case and had lasted 9 months. Danielle's, we were chatting, got into 3 years now in March, and we're still nowhere near the end.
And I'm sure that this delay and these ongoing delays are very hard and tough for your family and yourself to be going through.
Yes, very hard. It's while emotionally hard because she just wanted the end. I just want it over now.
An Irish man in his 50s has been arrested after 15 men were found in the back of a lorry in Chippenham in England. The man who was driving the lorry was arrested on suspicion of assisting illegal entry into the UK. Sean O'Regan reports.
Officers were called to the scene on an English motorway by a member of the public shortly before 8:30 yesterday evening. Those found in the lorry are all men aged between 16 and 30, and their nationalities are not yet known. 14 of them were deemed fit and well and were taken into custody, while the 15th was brought to hospital before being arrested. The Irish man in his 50s who was driving the lorry was arrested on suspicion of assisting illegal entry into the UK. Sean Delaney and Sons in Glanmire in Cork have confirmed this morning to Cork's 96 FM that the lorry was one of theirs. They say that they are currently investigating the circumstances surrounding the incident.
Glenmore Generation Limited have had a plan development appealed to Bord Pleanála. The application applies to their business at Ahave in Ballybofey. The company is in the business of processing alternative feedstocks, the production of renewable energy and fertiliser. Planning permission had been granted by Donegal County Council. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The company wants permission to extend the existing feedstock waste reception building to accommodate feedstock reception activities and digestate processing equipment and gas purification and compression plants. The plans also include 3 digester vessels with collection domes, 3 hydrolysis tanks with collection covers, pump houses and associated process pipework. They also seek to extend to the northern boundary of the biogas plant to accommodate a fertiliser plant, including digestate processing equipment and odour control equipment with a 17.5 metre exhaust stack. The application relates to a development which comprises an activity requiring an industrial emissions licence from the Environmental Protection Agency. A number of people are objecting, claiming the development will lead to an odour, noise and a pollution, with some locals claiming there has been little consultation on the plans. The Glenmore Action Group has submitted a 29-page objection signed by dozens of concerned members of the public. Glenmore Rivers has also lodged an objection, and Bord Pleanála is due to make its decision known early next March.
The Taoiseach says RTE's financial problems are about more than the licence fee. The broadcaster's director general called for reform of the charge as it announced plans to save €60 million over the next 3 years. They include 200 redundancies axing Airtel and online radio stations and a pay cut for top earners. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has rejected the idea that the government is to blame for not reforming the licence fee collection system.
In 2012-2013, RTE broke even, notwithstanding the fact that there's been more money from government for the licence fee. RTE is now recording very significant deficits, so this is about much more than the licence fee and government funding. So yes, we can come to the table and yes, we can contribute to the solution, but there won't be a solution without RTE itself modernising and reforming. And in fairness to them, they actually have made a lot of changes in recent years.
A Donegal deputy is accusing the Agriculture Minister of being incapable of getting all stakeholders around the table for the first meeting of the Beef Market Task Force. It's nearly 2 months since the Irish beef sector deal was agreed by farm organisations and Meat Industry Ireland, but the Beef Task Force still needs to get up and running. Fianna Fáil Agriculture spokesperson Deputy Charlie McConlough says farmers feel abandoned, with many reforms agreed in September still in limbo. He believes that the minister must stand up for farmers and that the buck ultimately stops with him.
Where factories have been bringing in new weight restrictions which are hitting farmers in the pocket, which are seeing farmers not getting paid for animals that are higher weights, unlike what they would have been before. And that's not acceptable at all. And it's hitting farmers who are already experiencing their lowest income in many years in the pocket further. We now need to see the minister actually ensure that that beef task force gets up, that actually the rules and the commitments that were made as part of the plan are the agreement are already enforced, such as the 4-month requirement to notify of any weight restriction or any weight changes. And that hasn't happened in this instance. And the Minister for Agriculture needs to get a grip of it and ensure that farmers actually do get the engagement that they were promised after the protest.
Now, as you mentioned, these commitments were given as far back as September. You've obviously been in touch with the Agriculture Minister and other relevant bodies. Have you any indication or any clarity as to why there has been this delay?
Well, the reason that the Beef Task Force hasn't got back up and running is that the farming representative organisations have refused to engage because there's 2 outstanding injunctions in play, and as part of the agreement, all injunctions were supposed to be stood down. So really the beef industry and the minister need to ensure that those injunctions are stood down, as was agreed at the time, and the Beef Task Force got back up and running. But really it's going to take the Minister for Agriculture taking a grip of this and showing the leadership necessary and not standing on the sidelines.
Detectives from the PSNI's Terrorism Investigation Unit investigating the illegal use of a lottery in the Derry area have arrested a 31-year-old man today following searches of businesses and residential premises in the city. Detective Chief Inspector Stuart Griffin says five properties were searched in the city and a sum of money along with other items in connection with lottery activity were seized. The man has since been released on bail pending further questioning. Police say the investigation is continuing. Irish Water, working in partnership with Donegal County Council, are advising customers in Cashelgore to Hawke that a section of the Ardsbeg Water Treatment Plant Road will be closed from 8 o'clock on Monday next, November the 11th, until 6 o'clock on Friday evening, December the 20th, to facilitate works. Emergency and local access for residents will be maintained at all times. An alternative route is in place. Adrian Harmon reports.
These water mains renewal works will involve the decommissioning and replacement of a section of old and damaged water pipes with modern, high-density plastic ones. The works are part of Irish Water's National Leakage Reduction Programme, which will reduce the high level of leakage across the country by fixing or replacing ageing water mains over the next 4 years. This contract's being carried out by Farron's Construction Limited, and Irish Water says that once complete, customers will experience improved water security due to a reduction in the amount of bursts and leakages. The works may involve some short-term water shutoffs, and the project team will ensure that customers are given a minimum of 48 hours notice. Irish Water says it regrets any inconvenience the works may cause and would like to thank residents and businesses for their cooperation in delivering these essential works, which will bring more reliable water supply to the community.
The Taoiseach insists the ongoing campaign of intimidation of staff at Quinn Industrial Holdings is a high priority for the government. The state's response to the issue has been in the spotlight since the abduction and violent attack on Kevin and Lonnie. Questions have been raised over whether attacks on property and other incidents in recent years were taken seriously. Taoiseach Simon Coveney says they have to deal with the policing challenges to protect the future of jobs associated with QIH.
This is a high priority, I can assure you, right at the top of government. I am conscious of the concerns in relation to jobs that potentially are at risk if we cannot deal with the policing challenges here. But I can assure you the government will continue to focus on successful prosecutions of people who belong in jail rather than intimidating their communities as they have been doing.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, where their Christmas club is now open. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with Gaelic Games this evening, and four Donegal women have been named on the 2019 Gaelic Life Ulster Club All-Stars Ladies Team of the Year. Termin have three players, with Chelsea Gorman named in the full back line and Maya Alcorn named in midfield, with Geraldine McLaughlin at a corner forward for this year's Team of the Year. Leave Muda player Jade O'Donnell has been selected in the half back line as well. These selections, of course, come off the back of both Donegal clubs reaching the Ulster finals, with Termin in the senior and Leave Muda in the junior. Senior winners Dunamoyne have five players named, while junior champions Eden Dork have two. Soccer now, and Republic of Ireland manager Mick McCarthy has trimmed his squad to 28 ahead of this month's Euro 2020 qualifier with Denmark and the friendly with New Zealand. Crystal Palace midfielder James McCarthy is not among the number, having asked to remain with his club for personal reasons. Kieran Clarke and Robbie Brady make the cut, as does Tottenham's teenage striker Troy Parrott. Celtic fullback Leo Connors received his first call-up for the New Zealand friendly. Stoke City have asked the Irish FA for permission to speak to Northern Ireland boss Michael O'Neill. The Championship's bottom club are without a manager after sacking Nathan Jones. Manchester United can secure a place in the last 32 of the Europa League with victory at home to Partizan Belgrade tonight. A Celtic win away to Lazio will see them through with two games to spare. Wolves welcome Slovan Bratislava to Molineux, and Rangers take on Porto at Ibrox. Cork City have signed midfielder Kian Coleman. The 22-year-old spent last season at St Pat's, and Cork have also confirmed the departures of Joel Coustrain, Colm Horgan and Owen Stokes. And just to note, the game between Quigley's Point Swifts and Cairn Donna in McGinn Park tonight is off due to a waterlogged pitch. In golf, Shane Lowry earned and shot an opening level par round of 72 in the Turkish Airlines Open earlier today to lie seven shots off the lead held by Tom Lewis and Matthias Schwab. Lowry was frustrated with the state of the greens and uncharacteristically missed a number of short putts after some fine approach play.
I played lowly, like, can't play any better than I did today. I just literally couldn't get the ball in the hole from 3 feet. I barely missed a three-footer all year, and I missed three of them in quick succession today. And look, it is what it is, but what can I do? Just have to go out tomorrow and try and do better.
Just put it down to one of those days and...
No, the greens are not great, to be honest. I'm not going to stand here and give out too much about it, but they're being last off wasn't a great draw today. I just lost confidence then early on and just struggled. So I'll go and do a bit of work now and see if I can find something.
Shane Lowry there. In rugby, Robbie Henshaw will play at the sports ground for the first time since leaving Connacht in tomorrow night's Interpro Derby. He's been named in the Leinster Centre along with Joe Tomain for the Pro 14 clash. Luke McGrath, Keane Healy and Andrew Porter also start, having returned from World Cup duty. Rob Kearney and Rhys Ruddock are on the bench, while Jack Carty returns at out half for Connacht, while Bundy Aki is among the replacements. In boxing, Michael Conlon claims doping is pervasive across professional boxing. The 27-year-old has hit out at the World Boxing Council for not taking action against Ray Vargas and Julio Cesar Martinez after both fighters tested positive. Former world amateur champion Conlon thinks drug taking is taking place across the sport.
Most of the top guys in boxing are doping. I've never came across someone who I know, or I've never been offered anything myself, but and I have no way of proving it, but it's just like, you see these guys getting caught here, caught there, and then you have VAR to test them, which probably sets up a good kind of way for you to be able to cycle, you know what I mean? Cycle their doping kind of schedules and stuff.
Finally, coming up on tonight's edition of The Score with Oisin Kelly and Tom Comack, we'll hear from Sean Paul and Luke Barrett, the father and son from Milford, who were this week appointed Donegal under 20 and under 17 managers. Sean Connor is back in management with Institute. We'll hear about his plan to keep Stute in the Irish League top flight. The special guest in studio will be Maureen O'Donnell of Termin, and she will be discussing the four All-Stars for Chelsea Gorman, Maya Alcorn, Geraldine McLaughlin and Jade O'Donnell. That is The Score tonight on Highland after the 7 o'clock news. That's all your sport for now, however, so it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And we're turning to some news. SMEs, micro and social community enterprises in the Northwest are being urged to attend a Western Development Commission Investment Fund clinic being held in the county later this month. To date, the WDC Investment Fund has invested over 55 million euro in 166 businesses in the county. The clinic will outline funding supports available to businesses and community groups in the region. Gillian Buckley is head of the investment team. She says there are plans to hold such events on a monthly basis going forward.
We have a range of investment instruments that are suitable for micro companies, SMEs, as well as the community projects. Now, what's unique and a little bit different about us from other state agencies is all our money is invested either by way of equity or loans, so it is all repayable. We don't do any grant aid, but we are here to be over and above what's available from the likes of the Enterprise Board, the LEOs, and the Enterprise Ireland. So we're additional funding for the region.
As far as I know, you launched a strategy earlier this year. What are the long-term plans for the investment fund?
Long-term plan for the fund is to continue to invest in enterprises within the region, both for-profit and not-for-profit, to drive employment and generate wealth throughout the region. So we have a huge focus in on the Northwest going forward in our current strategy, and to identify the sectors that can be grown in those areas.
And in terms of the clinic that's taking place later this month in Letterkenny, very important that those who may be seeking funding or who might think they might be eligible to come along.
Please do. We're holding it in the CoLab in Letterkenny Institute of Technology on Tuesday the 26th of November from 10 till 4, and we would expect to hold those kind of on a monthly basis going forward into 2020. And we also will have one in Sligo IT on the day before on the 25th, in case that might suit listeners from the south of the county.
Concerns have been raised that the costs for the new children's hospital are out of control. Currently, the project has a price tag of 1.7 billion euro. However, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has confirmed the contractor building the new national hospital has submitted claims for extra costs. Speaking in the Public Accounts Committee today, Labour's Alan Kelly says he wants guarantees that the cost for the hospital won't rise above 2 billion euro.
We have to absolutely go through this at a level of detail that hasn't been seen before on behalf of the taxpayer, because this thing is out of control. We don't know where this is going to end.
And finally, detailed plans for a major new housing development comprising of over 350 dwellings for the Drumahoe area of Derry have been given the go-ahead by members of Derry City and Strabane District Council's Planning Committee. Sean O'Regan has more.
The proposed residential development of 362 new homes featuring a mix of 61 detached, 248 semi-detached, 32 quad bungalows and 21 apartments was unanimously granted full permission after the Reserved Matters Planning Application was brought by developers Braidwater Limited. Within the application, the developer stipulates that the proposed house types are of a traditional design, yet modern and attractive. The neighbourhood development will also feature public open space, including an equipped children's play area and all associated landscaping. The site will be accessed from Fincairn Road and Glenshane Road, directly east of Copperthorpe Housing Development and north of the beaches, Drumahoe. Planning Committee members praised the proposed plans before accepting officers' recommendation to approve the application.
Weather now, cloud and outbreaks of rain will clear early tonight. Breezy for a time and cold with minimum temperatures of minus 2 to plus 2 degrees with frost. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a man who abused his young cousin by making him perform sex acts over a 6-year period has been jailed for 10 years. 51-year-old Thomas Patton, with an address at Castle Avenue, Clontarf, Dublin, had pleaded not guilty at Dublin Circuit Criminal Court to 24 counts of indecent assault of his cousin at Castle Finn in County Donegal on dates between April the 1st, 1984 and January the 1st, 1990. The mother of murdered Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin has raised concern over the direction in which the trial of the man charged with her murder is going. The Gap Agat is appealing against confinement in prison after a large number of mobile phones and 1 kilogram of narcotics were uncovered during a raid of the jail last month. A Donegal deputy is accusing the Agriculture Minister of being incapable of getting all stakeholders round the table for the first meeting of the Beef Market Task Force. It's nearly 2 months since the Irish beef sector deal was agreed by farm organisations and Meat Industry Ireland, but the Beef Task Force still needs to get up and running. And detectives from the PSNI's Terrorism Investigation Unit investigating the illegal use of a lottery in the Derry area have arrested a 31-year-old man today following searches of business and residential premises in the city. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 7th of November. The death has taken place of David Russell, Ashfield House, Cool Boy, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his residence from 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday at 12 noon for service in Convoy Presbyterian Church at 1 o'clock. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to a charity to be decided later. Care of Gibson Funeral Directors, Convoy. The death has occurred of Ellen O'Donnell, Falmore, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at Madeline's funeral home with rosary at 6:30 this evening, followed by removal to her late residence in Falmore. Funeral mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Patrick's Church, Mina Cross, with interment afterwards in Maharee Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Manus Gallagher, Mandy, St. Columbkills Village, Clonmany, formerly of Main Street, Creasla. His remains are reposing at St. Columbkills Village, Clonmany. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15 to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Wake from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St. Columbkills Village, Clonmany. The death has taken place of Margaret Gormley, née Ford, late of 24, Carrickane Road, Cloddy, County Derry. Her remains will repose at her daughter Marie's residence at 9 Sperrin Bawn, Stradarran, Cloddy, County Derry, after 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning to St. Joseph's Church, Craig Ban, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the family grave. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Marion Kelly, née McNulty, 455 Back Street, Imlick Villas, Carrigans. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 20 past 10, going to St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu if desired to Beaumont Hospital Foundation, care of any family member or Kelly Funeral Directors. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. And the death has taken place of Mae Kelly, the Diamond, Carndonagh. Her remains are reposing at her residence at Church Road, Carndonagh. Funeral from there this evening at 7 o'clock to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.